Amen. Come on. Hey, come on, BC. Again, man, welcome to Believer's Chapel. Hope you have enjoyed the week, man. To God be the glory. The rising of the sun until it's setting, the name of the Lord shall be praised. Psalm 113. Man, we are excited to go day in and day out and day in and day out, Monday to Tuesday. I hope that your time of worship and praise and thanksgiving is not just Sunday morning at 11 a.m., right? I hope that you are truly from the rising of the sun until it's setting, the name of the Lord shall be praised. I hope that it's just saturating your spirit throughout the week, day after day and hour after hour of his goodness and his grace and his mercy, that we are called to serve him and build his kingdom, that we are kingdom-minded people because we know the goodness of our God. Come on, Believers Chapel. I'm so pumped that you're with us today. Man, we are going to be speaking for 2 weeks on finances. We're going to be speaking and looking at just some, there's so much to speak on finances, but we're going to take 2 weeks and speak on it. This is what's kind of cool about this, right? I was going to speak on this starting 2 weeks ago, but there was something in a moment of being in his presence that just, I felt like in my heart that I need to speak on the power of his name, the authority of his name. So we took 2 weeks to speak on the power and the authority of his name. And we looked at some different passages and just went deep into that. And that was exciting. And I'm hoping that we are making that a great effect in our lives to know the authority that we have only because of Jesus who is in our lives and just the holiness of his name. There's so much to that for 2 weeks. I was going to preach this 2 weeks ago. And I had no idea, as you know, VBS starts tomorrow, and I truly had no idea. They had the whole theme of VBS and the verses, and just, I didn't know that they were actually preaching this. This was the actual theme for VBS, is where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that's what I was going to preach 2 weeks ago, but man, I love how that works out, where I'm preaching this the day before VBS, preaching the theme of VBS, because Believers Chapel, we need a double dose. Here we go. That's the deal. So we're excited to get into this. And man, if you are new to Believers Chapel, again, man, we're excited you're here. And you're going to hear some things today in regards to finances and Bible, and I hope that you can just tune in, and I hope that you can really hear what God has for us as a church and for his people to do a work to build his kingdom in the next 2 weeks. Come on, Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the time. Thank you for your word. Your word is alive, and it's powerful. And God, I thank you for this teaching. God, I thank you for what you can speak into our spirits and into our hearts. God, that we truly owe you everything, and we're amazed by you, and we love you, and I pray that this word just come alive to us, God, once again. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Come on, amen? Amen. Amen. Come on, pump. You're with us. Come on, Matthew 6, please. Matthew 6. And I just want to kind of go over some things as we're looking at where we're at Believers Chapel. Like you are in a, I hope that this is a great church for you. I hope that we are a powerhouse church for you in this region and beyond, that God is doing a great work in this region and beyond. We are seeing and being able to do so many different things. Church, we're able to do VBS like this because we believe in a spirit of excellence. We believe that if we are going to do something, it needs to be done right. You're seeing the volleyball courts out back, 3 professional volleyball courts in sand. So people have already been practicing on them and playing on them. We've had great games on them. We're hoping to set up a church-wide, even true league, maybe even just through Believers Chapel, maybe starting in a couple weeks on a Monday night. So there's a lot of things that we want to do. But when we do it right. And that's because we have the ability to do something right because of those who are part of this church who understand what it means to invest in God's kingdom. And man, as you know, man, we have been a church since 2009, started in mine and Renee's house in our living room. And we started a church 2009 and we started packing the house. Then we went to a park. We started packing a park. And then we went to a building in Allegheny on the West 5 Mile. We still own that building on the West 5 Mile. We purchased the house next to the building. The church did. And there's just so much that's taken place. And then God opened this building. This building was $1.2 million. And God opened this building for us from just, we were able to really make serious payments on this because the generosity of particular people that were in Believers Chapel, we were so blessed. Listen, I want you to know something as Believers Chapel. Like we have, God has allowed us to do so much. And we are at a place where we have tried to run on a cash basis. If we're buying something, we want it to be in cash. And God has blessed us. And I want you to know right up front that we are not preaching on finances because Believers Chapel is in this place of need, right? We are healthy financially. We own all of the property in the house free and clear on the West 5 Mile. This building costs us $1.25 million. And this is the great news. Right now, we currently only owe $235,000 in all things within Believer's Chapel. It's unbelievable. It's amazing. And to God be the glory, because of where we're at financially in this church, we're able to do some amazing things. And I say that, and even next week, we're going to get into a lot of different areas of BC. What is the impact that this church really has? What are we doing to the glory of God? What are we doing to invest in his kingdom? What's going on through different ministries of BC that maybe we're not even aware of when we say, I give to this church, I trust this church, and God's doing a great work, I know it. But next week, we're going to unpack a lot of different things that God is doing because of the financial blessing that is on this church. We are financially blessed as a church because people in this church get it. You understand what it is to invest in the kingdom of God, what it is to make true investments to his work that we're able to reach a region. And I'm telling you, man, we are in such a good place. So please hear my heart in this, right? I don't preach to get more tithes and more offerings. We are in a healthy place. I want you to understand the teaching of God's word in finances. And I'm one who says I should probably teach on finances more. I very rarely even teach on finances because we get it as a church. But sometimes I think, and I mean this, I think I am selling the church short that we need to teach more on finances. So there's just more education around what God says about money. Because money can take you places that you don't want to go. Or if you don't have money, it can take you places that you wish you never were. So there's so many different things around money, even financially, what God says, that it's so important. And I'm not sure if I've hit it enough in this church. Not because we lack, but because of just teaching God's word. And I don't shy away from it. I love it. I know what God says about finances. I know what God says about money and money management. I know what God says about saving. I know what God says about investing. I know what God says about tithes and offerings, man. I know what God says about having an inheritance for your children's children. Like, there's a lot to planning and saving. But how much have we really thought about investing for an eternal reward? How much have we actually really thought about, okay, if I'm investing in God's kingdom, what does that look like for an eternal reward? Right? Yeah, yes, we invest here on the earth temporarily. Yes, it's smart to plan for retirement. Yes, it is smart because the Bible says, listen, you need to have an inheritance for your children and your children's children. Like, that all comes from planning it out. That all comes from investing. So please hear me. I'm not asking you to empty 401k. I'm not asking you for money at all. Right, we're coming to this place to see what does God say about a biblical perspective about when I'm truly walking in a manner right with him, even financially. What does it look like for having eternal rewards? Not even rewards here on the earth, which they will come. I'm talking about investing in heavenly rewards. What happens when we truly invest in heaven's principle of reward because of financial giving? I mean, I want you to hear this because this is teaching and training and this is being educated through scripture to say, listen, hold on. If I'm giving with the right heart and the right spirit because I'm called to give, you mean there's eternal, everlasting reward waiting for me based on what I do here? Yes, that's what the Bible says. And I'm so excited to unpack this and see this. But I want as you're in Matthew 6, I want to go to Ephesians for a minute. And if you want, you can turn to Ephesians. We love the Bible here at Believer's Chapel. We want you to get in the Bible. If you want to just turn, I'm just thinking about this right now. I want you to look at Ephesians 2. This wasn't in my notes, but I mentioned this in the first service. And I want you to see this because some people can get kind of twisted a little bit religion-wise and think, you know what? What do you mean? What do you mean by giving for reward? Like, are you saying that salvation is through giving or there's a sense of good works? Because you can get real twisted in religion when you think you're saved by doing. Well, you think you're saved by your good works. Because everyone's going to go, hold on, Sean, wait a minute. No, you're not saved by good works. You're saved by grace. So what do you mean by good works? What do you mean by reward by good works? I'm not speaking of salvation reward. I want you to see this because well-known verse, Ephesians 2, you all know it. Verse 9, it says this, Ephesians 2, 9, for by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not a result of works. It's not a result of works. It's not a result of works so anyone could boast. So we get that, right? I am saved by grace. High five. Yes, I am saved by grace. It's not by works. It's just by, I love that. My man a little back there, he gave me an air high five. Dude, you're cool, man. He was just like, yeah, I got you. pastor, like, that's good. Boom. Gave me a high five. I felt it. But when you understand it, okay, I get it. But what does the works piece have to do with my salvation when I know that I'm saved by grace? So, hey, hold on, Sean. Don't go so far as to say that there's reward based off of my good works. Well, I love that everyone loves verse 9. Where we are absolutely 100% saved by grace. So don't twist anything that's being said here. You are not saved by good works. You're not saved by your financial giving. You are saved by grace and grace alone. But here it is. Watch this. Verse 10. Look what it says. Keep it in context. It says this. For we are his. That's God's workmanship. That means we are handcrafted by God. Created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. For by grace you have been saved through faith, but we have been handcrafted by God's plan for what? In Christ, to what? To have good works. So man, when you look at grace and works, when you look at saved by grace, but once I'm saved by grace, job's not finished. Now we got to get into good works because God has handcrafted us in Christ Jesus for good works. Watch this, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. Isn't that amazing? I love this. Isn't that amazing that God says, listen, you are created for good, or saved by grace, but created for good works in Christ Jesus, which I've already planted out for you in good works, and I just need you to walk it through. Wow. God, I love Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, but then I love verse 10 because it combines the reality of what it is to do good work. So I want to make that very clear as we go through this. And here I want to start in Matthew 6. And this is Jesus. He's speaking the Sermon on the Mount. He's speaking to a large crowd. This is the longest message that we see within the scripture. And he gives us this great public message. And man, he's just got these one-liners and he's got some zingers and he talks about blessing. He talks about so much in this Sermon on the Mount. We get to verse 19 and then he starts talking about people's finances, right? He starts talking about money and he says this, verse 19, so do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust, where neither moth nor rust destroys, nor thieves do not break in and steal. So I love where he is saying, listen, there's treasures in heaven. Like don't store up treasures on earth, but store up treasures in heaven. Don't store up treasures on earth, store up treasures in heaven. Like he's speaking here of things that are temporary and things that are eternal. Things of the earth, we know it very well. Bible says life is a breath. Life is short. Here today, gone tomorrow, in the big picture of eternity. So here he's speaking of the temporary things here on the earth. And then he's speaking of the eternal things in the heavens. So you got to see the Lord's teaching here is very clear of treasures that are here on the earth and treasures that are in heaven. And then we get to our VBS theme verse, and it says this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do not put your treasure in earthly things, but put your treasure in heavenly things. We're going to clarify at the end of this that your treasure, he is referencing your wealth. He is referencing your money. And then he makes it so clear, man. He puts the arrowhead as sharp as you can on that arrow, and he just shoots a dinger right at the crowd. I said, listen, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And church, you hear me all the time that when you read scripture, when you read the Bible, ask questions. Ask questions to yourself. Because Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And the question that I ask is, okay, Lord, well, where's my treasure going? Because that's proof to where my heart's going. That's what Jesus said. Listen, if you're storing up treasures on earth, it's temporary because rust, moth, and thieves will come in and destroy that which is on the earth. Temporary. He says, you have the ability, this is what he's saying, you have the ability to make an investment in eternal, forever heaven. Where rust can't touch it, moths can't touch it, and thieves are never going to steal it. And then he shoots that zinger and says, well, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And please don't have any misunderstanding here, church. I'm not saying that money is bad. I speak to a group of people here in the United States of America that every person I do believe that is in the high, huge percentage of the United States of America is blessed. Even the poorest is blessed compared to other countries. We speak to people who are blessed. And I believe God has blessed this country for the work of missions. I believe God has blessed this country to do a great work around the world. And I'm telling you, man, I don't believe that our work is finished. I don't believe that America is finished. I believe God is going to just show up in such a strong way here in America again. We are going to see a beautiful separation of a Grand Canyon from the church that's going woke and worldly compared to the church that Christ is the head of. If the church is going woke and worldly, they've got man in charge of that church. We want a church that Christ is the head of, and we're going to see godliness and holiness and purity take place in the church today. And then you're going to see the church win America again. I'm telling you, man, I don't believe for a moment that America is done. As long as we breathe, we got work to do here on these grounds, and we're going to see God do a beautiful work here in America again. And I'm telling you, man, when you see a blessed nation that is not just blessed for themselves, it's not just blessed for me, myself, and I. That's the unholy trinity, right? Me, myself, and I. But we are a blessed nation to do work for God. Listen, there's nothing wrong with having money, and there's nothing wrong with having possessions, as long as you don't think those possessions are your life. There's a huge difference. Listen, there's people in Scripture that were just loaded. Abraham, loaded. David, loaded. Solomon, loaded. Job, loaded. We go down a long list of those who were just loaded throughout Old Testament, New Testament. Money's not the issue. It's your heart towards ministry that becomes the issue. And I love what the Lord says here. Jesus says this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be made also. So just take a quick second, because you know, and your spouse would know, and by the way, your kids would know. Where's dad's heart? Where's mom's heart? Like, God, where have my treasures been going? Checkbook tells the true story. Credit card tells the true story of really where my priorities are. For where my treasure is, there my heart will be. So where my finances go, that really is very telling of what I believe are priorities. And then, church, I encourage you, mom and dad, I encourage you to begin to teach this to your kids. Teach generosity to your kids immediately. My dad taught us, as soon as us boys, Sean, Todd, and Brent got a job, man, we were tithing. We were giving off of our checks from, I worked at the Olean Recreation Center as a lifeguard and a skate guard, and some of that money went right to the church that we were attending, taught at a young age in a house. That dad says, Sean, listen, you can never outgive God. You can never outgive God. You can never outgive God. God owns it all anyways. Like, when you really break that down, that we breathe the air that God allows us to breathe. We walk on a ball that God created at any moment. God could say enough. Could you imagine saying, nope, God, this is mine and this is your. No, when you come to a true place, say, God, you own it all, and you are allowing me to live in such a beautiful place. How amazing. My dad would say, Sean, God owns it all, and you can never outgive God. I learned generosity from watching my dad just bless people for no reason, buying meals for people because they're in the same restaurant, in a line with somebody, paying for something because he just wanted to bless somebody. I saw a dad in the bookstore give so much of the bookstore away to people who didn't have. He says, listen, you go pick anything off the shelf you want. Well, you need a cassette. You're singing at church on Sunday. I want you to, you don't even know what a cassette is, do you? That's hilarious. I just said cassette. Some of you are like, is that music? Like cassette? What do you mean? Is that like we had cassettes back then? Remember the cassettes? Like you put it. Remember when you had to, this is funny. You remember when you had to actually want to record a song and you put the cassette in your recorder and you put it up next to the radio station and you're doing something and all of a sudden the song comes out and you're like, that's it. And you hit record and you're like, I got it. Like, you don't even have to do that anymore. The younger generation going, what the heck are you talking about? Like, you just download something and push play and it's always right there. It's always available. No, there was a day you had to record a song off the radio and pyro it and just totally take it and steal it so it could be on your cassette so that you could play it in your car at level 12, right? It's off the cassette. It sounded amazing, by the way. It was awesome. But my dad would just give cassettes away and give CDs away. So generosity is taught and learned. And parents, I encourage you to teach your children, as soon as they get a job, what it is to follow in a biblical principle of giving and what it really looks like and what it means to be generous, what it means to understand the Lord has blessed me and he has blessed this nation. Man, how do I bless others? How do I follow in a pattern of tithes and offerings to do the work of God and build a kingdom? And listen, I believe in tithes and offerings. I know there's all kind of different teaching on this. I believe in Old Testament principles of giving. Now listen, I understand that Old Testament is under the law and we are free from the law. And you see that Old Testament, New Testament in regards to giving. And I'm one who believes that, okay, I take the Old Testament principle. I don't give because I have to give. When you understand the Old Testament tithe, there was actually several different tithes that equaled up anywhere between 23% and 32%. Like this, there's this percentage that they try to work out on what you, and it was more of a tax than a tithe. And it was like, you could get into some deep teaching on Old Testament law of giving that was out of duty even, but then you do see pictures of giving out of desire from even Cain and Abel, and Cain killed Abel because God didn't receive, there's so much to it, God didn't receive Cain's offering because Abel's was from the first. Like there's so much to it even from the very beginning of what it is to give to God, and I understand Old Testament thought on tithes and offerings out of more of a tax, but I understand the New Testament where it carries over into the New Testament where I believe that we now give out of a free will and generosity, but I'm one who says it starts at 10% because that's a principle that's been set, but it has to come from a place of generosity. Now listen, the church today gives, I think the average giving is about 2% in the church. That's what I think it is. I don't know what it is at BC. We are so blessed. We are so thankful. And I am grateful for those who give in this church, man. Just we are in a great, healthy place. But I want you to know that I understand the different teachings on Old Testament and New Testament. I understand the generosity. Next week, we'll even get more into the generosity giving and what that looks like. And man, I want to even just share this with you. As you break down different things, you see different words. And I want you to know the importance of what God puts on giving. And you see in the scripture, the word love is mentioned 700 plus time. Believe 270 plus times, pray 350 plus times. It all depends on the version that you use. Joy is 180 plus times. Faith is 250 plus times. Grace is 150 plus times. And the word give is over 2,000 times. So when you understand there is something to being generous and there is something to giving, for God so loved the world that he gave. So when you look at what the Bible says here in Matthew 6, verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There's some depth to this, right? There's some perspective to our giving. And God is into our priorities. And it really does matter. It really does matter for where your treasure goes. And Renee and I do pre-marriage coaching, and we talk on finances. And in pre-marriage coaching, we talk about your finances and what's happening with money. And, you know, the easiest budget on the planet, real simple budgeting, is spend less than you make. That's not complicated, right? Spend less than you make. And even Renee and I getting into a serious relationship and you know, her just keep asking me, Sean, would you please just marry me? Like, just marry me. Would you please just marry? I'm like, honey, well, it's been 5 days. Relax. Just relax. She's probably laughing at me in the foyer going, you know, that's not true. But we had very serious conversations about what we're doing with our finances. I'm like, honey, we need to, and she totally in agreement. Like, there was no other conversation than we get paid. The first line on the budget is tithes and offerings. It's God's. And then we always live off the rest. We've done that from before we were married. That was from the first check we ever received being married. Lord, this is what we're doing is we're getting paid. The very first line is our tithes and offerings. And then we're going to live off the rest. And I love where we're at, where God has never, ever, ever, ever shied us. We have never lacked. God has been a true and faithful God to what he has called us to do in life, even with children. And you teach your children, listen, when you get paid, like your first check, what do you do with your first check? You look at it and say, okay, this tithe and this offering, it belongs to the Lord. And what are you doing with your finances? Like you teach this to your children. right? You teach this to your children. And church, I love this because when you teach immediately to your children and their first jobs, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Son, listen, listen. When you get paid, what you do with those finances, it's proof positive to the priorities of your heart. It shows everybody where your priorities are. And parents, your kids know where your priorities are. Like, they see where the money goes. And I encourage us today, off of teaching from Scripture, is teach your kids what it is to be generous. And do not buy into just the horrible false teaching. Oh, tithing's not for today. Don't give to your church. Well, it's amazing those who've been truly understand being saved by grace, they try to do everything they can to get out of giving. Amazing to me. It's amazing to me. Why do we try to do everything to not be generous when we serve a God who loves so much that he gave his only begotten son, that he is the absolute example of what it is to give? And we have a Father who loves to bless. I never can understand that, and I won't, and it's not biblical. Come on, let's look at this. So we look at our treasure, and where our treasure is, there your heart will be also. And I got to cruise here for a minute. And then verse 22 says this, the eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. This all has to do with the same context. Right, this all has to do with treasure and your heart and investing in heaven and not in the earth. For your eye is the lamp of the body, so then your eye is clear. Your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? For no one can serve two masters. So I love that it's about my treasure, and it's about the clarity and the truth that is within my heart. Right? It's about my treasure, it's about my finances, and it's about what I see about my finances. Because if I'm not running my finances well, if I'm not walking in a clear spirit, if there has been things that have been contaminated within my spirit, well, the eye is just the gateway, right? You look at the eye, it's the gateway to the spirit, right? And the heart. So if there's things that are messed up within my spirit, I'm not seeing things clearly, and there's a darkness there. And again, it's about your treasure, it's about how you see it, and then it's about who's in charge of it. Because look at what he says. He says this, for no one can serve two masters, for he will hate the one, love the other. He will be devoted to one and despise the other, for you cannot serve God and money. So we see this whole thing is about money. This whole thing is about whether we're doing temporary deal with our finances or whether we're doing eternal work with our finances. How we see our money, is it contaminating us? Is it bringing darkness, or do we see it as light and it's clear? Like, it's about our treasure, it's about how we see it, and it's about who's in charge of it. Because God says, listen, you can't love both. You can't love both. Either you own your money or it owns you. Either you own your money or it owns you. And if your money owns you, you're in a bad spot. If you own your money and you tell your money what it's going to do, and your money's not telling you what it's going to do, you're in charge. And God says, listen, if you're serving me, you can't love money. You can't just love money. You can't live for money. And I love what Jesus, again, this is Jesus speaking to a large crowd, shooting just daggers at the crowd, going, hey, listen, listen, where's your priorities? What are you doing with your finances? And I love where Jesus brings it right down to, listen, you can't love both. Because if your money is the master, then it's going to run your world. But if God is your master, then you're going to run your money. There's a huge difference there, right? Come on, let's look at Luke 12. I want you to see this in Luke 12. It's a very similar teaching. I don't believe it's the same time. I don't believe the Luke 12 is the Sermon on the Mount. Some scholars do, and that's fine. It's great teaching. I believe Jesus walked around and taught messages after messages after messages after messages after messages. Many of them were on repeat, and he just spoke the gospel. He went place to place, repent and believe, repent and believe. And then and even in this, there's differences from the Sermon on the Mount from this. There's similarities from the Sermon on the Mount. I'm one who doesn't believe that this is directly from Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. I believe this was a different message, but that's just me. And you look at this. This is very similar, but he says this, Luke 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who appointed me to be judge or arbitrator over you? Then he said to them, beware and be on guard. I want you to hear this. Against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. I want you to get this because this is huge when it comes to our finances. This is huge to have a right biblical perspective of what it means to really live. What it means to really live. I grew up in a house where my dad would say, Sean, are you living or existing? I grew up in a house where I'd be out with my dad and I would hear him just have conversation. If you've been with Leonard, you're with him for a short time before he exits to go talk to someone else. Like he is like, I'm telling you, it's amazing. You're at a restaurant with him. He's with you for a little bit, but he's at another table, just sits down and invites himself to the table and has a great conversation. That's dad. That's what he does. And a lot of times his open is, are you living or existing? Just because you breathe doesn't mean that you're alive in a real sense. There are those who just are the walking dead, man. I'm not talking zombies. I'm talking about people who are dead in their spirit, that they have no life to them, but yet they still breathe. And this, I love where this passage is, because again, this is speaking this, and he says this. Then he said to them, beware and be on guard against every form of greed. Again, that's all temporary. For not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. Just because you have a lot, that doesn't mean you're alive. And church, what happens when you have honestly traveled the world? And I have to preach the Bible. Please hear me. Not to America. Bible wasn't written for America. I've had the privilege to work with David Hearn and Heritage of Flame. I've had the privilege to go. It's a mission organization. That was our first full-time within ministry was missions. I got my Bible degree off of missions. And just to go and see the world. And he had opened the door for me to go into India. And I went into India. And in church, one of the litmus tests for me personally is that if I preach a message here on this pulpit, it better be able to be preached to the person who lives in the hut on the side of the road in India that has 10 people that are waiting for a seed to be able to feed the kids. It better be the same message that applies to them as much as it does to us, because it's the gospel, it's the good news, and the Bible wasn't written for America, right? So understand that. This isn't that prosperity gospel that we give to get. Yes, God will bless. God will bless even here and now when you walk into principles of giving. But when you give only for the process of God, now I'm waiting and you're going to do this for me, and God, you're going to do this for me, and God, you're going to do. When you give to get, you're on the wrong side. And I better be able to preach this, and I would preach this in India. Because I've seen people in Cuba, not our Cuba, but the other Cuba, when you weren't allowed to go into Cuba. I've seen people in India that have just, I love it because they have the joy of the Lord. And their families are laughing and playing, and there's such joy on the streets, but they don't have shoes on because they can't afford shoes. And I've seen people with all the money that they could handle, and they're just flat out dead miserable. Church, what happens? When Jesus says, listen, be careful of greed. Because your life, that which is to live, living doesn't have to do with your possessions. You don't become happier with more money. It's a spiritual thing. It's something on the inside. And man, if you have traveled the world to third world countries, man, you've seen it. You've seen the huts. You've seen the people. You've seen what it looks like to be without. Man, you've seen, like, honestly, 10 people to a size that may be your kitchen, maybe. And that's a house for 10 people. Man, their house, I love it because you walk in and you are celebrated when you walk in their little place, their room. And I walk in these places and these moms and wives, man, they're just, the house is, they have pride in their house. The house is spick and span. It's beautiful. And they love the Lord. They just love the Lord. Their joy is not based on their stuff. What happens when we understand, yeah, finances, as God says, there's what we do with them, it's a priority. But what happens when you understand it's not about the amount? Yeah, I believe in the 10%, but 10% is just, that's 10% across the board. Whether you make a dollar or you make $1 million, it's 10% across the board. I believe in the tithe. What happens when you see in Luke 21, when Jesus is watching those given to the treasury. And he's using this as just one of those amazing teaching moments as the coach does, right? Jesus is the coach. He's the lead of the disciples. And he's watching all these people and all the Pharisees, and they're coming in and they're putting in boatloads of money into the offering. And there's this little poor little widow. I can just imagine this crippled little widow. She comes in and plunks in two coins, and it's just a clink, clink, two little mites, which is less than one of our cent, less than a penny. And Coach Jesus says, guys, huddle up. I need you to watch. This was amazing. I was watching the treasury today. I was watching those who were putting in. And man, you see all those guys over there? They were just showing off, man. They just had such a show off, and they were just pouring in boatloads of money. But man, did you hear the two coins? Did you hear it? Clink, clink. That little old woman over there, the poor widow, she put in two mites. And Coach Jesus says, gentlemen, I need you to see this. There's a point here. She put in more than all of them combined. What? Go back and read Luke 21, 1 through 4, and you will see where Jesus makes this incredible, incredible point that this woman here has put in her two mites more than all of them put together. Stunning. Because she put in all that she had. Church, when you see this, and then he goes into this parable, and I got a couple minutes, and he goes into this parable about a rich man who just had a lot of crops, and he had tons of money, and he's like, man, I'm making so much money. My barns are full. I've got so much, and my barns are full. I got an idea. Instead of being generous, I'm going to tear down the barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns to store more stuff. And then I'm just going to eat, drink, and be merry. It's all about me. I'm the priority of me. I'm the center of attention. I'm the center of my money. My money does me good. I'll just eat, drink, and be merry. And listen, when I have so much, I'm not going to give it away. I'm just going to knock down the barns and build bigger so I can have more. That's the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. Like, this is just about me. What can I gain? What is about me so I can live my life? It's about me, myself, and I. This is this whole parable. And then verse 20 says this, but God said to him, you fool, this very night. Listen, I don't know if we can call someone a fool, but God can. So he just says, you fool, this very night, your soul is required of you. And now, I love this, who will own what you have prepared? Here's the point of what the parable is. Verse 21, so is the man who stores up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. Listen, it's all about being generous. And again, Jesus takes out that arrow and throws a dinger and says, listen, if you are a self-centered individual and you make it life about you, God says, you fool. God says, you fool. And then he goes into this amazing teaching. And then he says, listen, you're not to worry about life. You're not to worry about, look at the birds, look at the lilies, look at the grass. I take care of all of them, and I'm going to take care of you, so stop worrying. And then he closes once again in verse 34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He says it again, for where your treasure is, guys, this is the priority. For where your treasure is, that's the priority. Are you making life just about you? Are you being self-centered? Are you just saying, more for me, more for me, more for me, more for me? I'm going to build bigger barns, more for me. And again, please hear me. Please hear me, church. Please hear me. There's nothing wrong with nice stuff. There's nothing wrong with nice stuff. There's nothing wrong with making good money. We're in America and we make good money. There's nothing wrong with working hard. Listen, we're supposed to work hard. The Bible is very clear. You don't work, you don't eat. You don't work, we're called to work, and we're called to make money. We're called to eat. You don't work, you don't eat. That deals with a lot of different issues there. That's not talking about the poor and the disabled who can't work. That's talking about those who choose not to work. And my goodness, we got a lot of that going on. What happens if you put that over social services? It says, if you have the ability to work and you don't, good luck, man. Go plant your own crops, because we're not giving you any more money. My goodness, you'd find the workforce filled. You wouldn't find any more signs in windows saying work help. You wouldn't see business closing because they couldn't get anybody to work. What would happen if that's true? See, there's nothing wrong with making money. And there's nothing wrong with planning ahead. There's nothing wrong with having an inheritance, as the Bible says, for your children's children. There's nothing wrong with your retirement. It's good planning. It's biblical good planning. But what happens when we get this thing all wrapped up nice to a biblical perspective to say, God, what am I doing for your kingdom? Where is my true priority? And I love this, Philippians 4. I want to just close with this. We see this. This is so good. I want you to see this because this is just one place of many in Scripture that we see there's an actual reward, an eternal reward. Church, what happens when, yes, we are trained here on the earth, and it's a good thing to be thinking retirement. It's a good thing to being prepared for investing and prepared for retirement, prepared for when I'm no longer able to work and I've got a savings and I've saved up and I'm ready. And even when I pass on and my wife pass on, we're able to send some down to the kids and grandkids and what we do with our finances. Like, there's so much biblical wisdom in saving and preparing for the future. But do we actually think, I don't think this is taught enough in church, do we actually think on our eternal investment that there truly is a biblical promise to rewards in heaven? And I'm not talking about here on the earth. Yes, there's blessing here on the earth. But I want this to be heavenly treasures. I want us to sign up in our spirit today to say, okay, what is it for heavenly treasures, man? What is it to understand as I give my treasure and my priority as where my heart goes, because my treasure goes over here to God's kingdom and God's work, and my treasure goes here. They're my priority. That's the sign of where my heart is. But there is this amazing, beautiful, godly, heavenly blessing of a reward for an eternity when we get to heaven. We can have such a temporary mindset. We walk around just thinking about today, thinking about tomorrow. And what am I doing right now? What am I doing right now? How much do we actually think about the true big eternal picture that means forever and ever, for what we do here now, even financially, has an eternal perspective of reward for those who get this, for those who understand eternal mindset, kingdom building here on the earth, doing his will and work here on the earth, even financially, to see what our reward will be in heaven. I want you to see this. Come on. Look at this. Philippians 4. This is great, man. This is Philippians 4 that Paul writes this book, this letter to the church of Philippi. He's pumped about this church. He loves this church. They love him. They have helped him financially get through things. This book is about joy, and he's excited about this church. And then this is what he says, verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at least you have received your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak, I love this, not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned. Watch this. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am in. Church, what I love what he's saying here. He says, listen, I have learned to be content in every circumstance. Content means I'm okay. What he's saying is, listen, I've learned to be okay. I've learned what it is to have joy. I've learned what it is to have peace. I've learned what it is that my soul and my spirit, that I can say no matter what circumstance I'm in, I'm good. And he's speaking with money. He's speaking in reference to finances. And we're going to read this in a minute, but I want you to know what he's saying here is, listen, I have learned. What happens when you've learned? I have experienced. I have gone through it. And this is the conclusion. This is how I have been educated. When you learn something, I've been educated. Right? This is what I have learned, that in every circumstance, my soul is good. I'm good on the inside. Everything's going to be okay. Look what he says here, right? I've learned what it is to be content in whatever circumstance I'm in. I know how to get along in humble means. I also know how to live in prosperity. In every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, to have an abundance and to suffer need. Paul says, I've been there. I've done that. I've had it all. I've lost it all. My stomach has been full with the best of food. My stomach has had no food in it. I understand what it is to have it in abundance. I understand what it is to need it because I don't have it. He says, in every circumstance, rich or poor, I know what it is to be okay here. I'm gonna be okay. My soul is okay. My spirit is at peace. Man, what's he saying? It's not money that causes that contentment. This is what I've learned. I've had it all. I've been content. I've lost it all. I've been content. I've had all the food I can eat. I've been content. My stomach has been empty and I've been hungry. I've been content. My contentment isn't based off of my money. Verse 13, for I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Man, this is a tattoo. This is a coffee cup verse. This is a bumper sticker verse. This is one of those verses that you see, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And yes, that is true. And yes, if you have that tattoo, high five. If you have it a bumper sticker, fine, that's cool. If you have it on a coffee mug, live that verse. But know the context of the verse. He's speaking, if I have it all, I can be content. The only way I'm content is because I know I can go through having nothing because he strengthens me. I can go through having it all because he strengthens me. I know that in all things I will be okay because God who strengthens me even when I don't have it. So his strengthening me in all areas has to do with my contentment. I am content because I can buy into Philippians 13. I'm going to be okay in my spirit because I believe Philippians 4:13 that I can do all things. I can live without and I can be okay. I can live with everything and I can be okay. Church, look, what happens when this just begins to sink in to say, man, my ability to live life does not have what I have to do with my possessions. So this isn't a preach it so I can get it message. This isn't a preach it to get more. This isn't a prosperity like the more you give, the more you're going to get. There is some biblical promise to our giving, absolutely, but there has to be some contentment to know, God, you truly own it all. And if it's a little, you own it all. If it's too much, you own it all. If it's everything in abundance, you own it all. And in every circumstance with my finances, God, I want to be okay in my spirit because you said, listen, I have fed the birds and I have clothed the lilies and I have the grass to grow. And you are more valuable than all three of those. And you are not to worry about what you're eating or going to, what you're going to wear. We have a God who does provide and a God who covers, and I can do all things to him who strengthens me. I love this. Here it is. And then he goes through Philippi, Macedonia, and Thessalonica. And then you get to verse 17. And this is the deal. We close with this. Not that I seek the gift itself. That's finances. Not that I seek the gift itself. Watch this. But I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I seek the profit. Profit is reward. That increases, that grows to your account. Church, where is this account? Listen, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. There is reward that we are storing up when we do kingdom work. There is reward that is storing up. And Paul, I love it in Philippians 4. Paul saying, listen, I'm not talking about the gifts that you've given me financially. I am more excited about the reward that increased to your account. And that is that heavenly, forever, eternal reward that we get when we don't store up treasures here on the earth, when earth isn't 100% our priority. But we look further than that. And we look to an eternal perspective to say, God, as I give to your kingdom, I am investing in eternity for great rewards that you would have for me. It's amazing. It's amazing, church. I love this. I don't know if we could just stand to our feet, please. What happens when you know that God will supply all of our needs? What happens when you know, okay, God, where is my heart in this? Man, I am born again. I am amazed truly by your grace, and I am saved. Where is my priority? Where my treasure is, there my heart is. Like, that's a promise, man. That's just the tell-all of our wallet, man. It's the tell-all of our checkbook. It's the tell-all of the credit card. It's the tell-all of the finances. What is our priority? What is it to give to kingdom business, man? What is it to say, God, how do I do this, man? How do I make you the priority again? Man, it's just It's just you going before the Lord saying, okay, God, I think it's time. And I love it because, honestly, since just getting a job, I'm 52, and since I've had a job at 14 years old, I've been investing in His kingdom. That was never, ever, church, when I say it was never a struggle, it has never been a struggle to give, ever. It's never been, God, I don't want to give. God, I want to buy a bicycle instead. Like, it's never, I never had that, ever. It's always been a priority. And the Lord has been so good to me. He has been so good to me. Because I bought in to what my dad would say, Sean, you can never outgive God. I bought into that. I have a Heavenly Father who loves to bless. And His favor is upon us, church. His favor is on this church. And I am so thankful for mom and dad who says, Sean, this is tithes and offerings and it's kingdom giving. You can never outgive God. And then when you grow up and you start actually reading on the eternal investments that we make. But Lord, there is reward in heaven. And I'm going to be amazed by that. It'll be a beautiful day. We get to go home. And then we get our rewards for what we've done financially for His kingdom. Church, that's a truth. How much are we putting into the account of heavenly treasures compared to earthly treasures? Come on, just bow our heads. Lord, we just thank You so much for today. We love You. God, I'm thankful as a pastor. I get the privilege to lead this crew, coach this crew. God, this is a great church. And I thank You for Your blessing on this church. I thank You for the financial blessing on this church. God, I thank You for those who understand it and those who have been so faithful to give beyond tithes and even offerings, God, just so faithful to give. Lord, I thank You for the place that we're in. I thank You we're able to do what we can do at a level of excellence because of those who understand this principle of the treasure and the principle of giving and the principle of eternal reward and the principle of priority. It's beautiful. So God, we're blessed, church, and I thank You for it. And I thank You for this teaching. God, I thank You for Your word is alive and powerful. God, I pray our priorities shift to kingdom mind. Our priorities shift to winning the lost. Our priorities shift to teaching the truth. Our priorities shift to gospel saturation in our area. People need Jesus. God, our priorities shift to our eyes on You. God, let Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, let Your will be done here, and You've called us to do that. So let's exercise our faith and trust in You. In Jesus' name, come on, amen. Listen, if you need prayer for any reason, as Brennan closes out in the song, man, please come right up front. We'd love to pray with you. Come on, amen.